Reading for today is from Luke 24, 28 to 35, and you can find it on page 1644 of your Black Pew Bibles. Verse 28. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
All right. Thanks, Naomi. Might be on. Can you hear me? Yep. Good. My name's Tom, if we haven't met before. I'm really excited to be diving into this part of Luke with you today. It's a chapter that is rich in resurrection certainty. Let me pray for us again and then we'll get stuck in. Father, we thank you that you speak through your word every time we open it. Lord, we pray that today that you would speak to us of your son Jesus. Help us to see what you have for us in the scriptures by your spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you ever had a moment where you think you know what's going on, but later you discover you were wrong? Like you're seeing it completely wrong. Now, this seems to happen to me a bit. A couple of weeks ago, my sister Jen, who we live with, told me when I got home, there's a snake in the backyard. It's behind the brick retaining wall, and it has a really thick body, so it's probably a tiger snake because it looked like it had stripes. Now, the retaining wall at my house is right next to where my three-year-old daughter Hattie likes to ride her bike. So this affected my whole view on the backyard. So I'm starting to think, do you need a backyard? Maybe we just don't need a backyard. Maybe we could just stay inside. That's fine. The snake can just have it. That's fine. And that night, I had dreams about snakes. I'm not joking. Now, a few days go by, we see our backyard friend again, only this time now I've got a really clear picture of his head. And as I looked at his head, thinking, he looks very much like a big blue-tongued lizard. Because that's what he is. I was seeing the truth. And recognizing the blue tongue changed me. Now we can go outside again. We can go near that brick retaining wall. We don't have to fear going near it. I stopped dreaming of snakes because now my eyes had seen the truth. The risen Christ reveals himself to the travelers in our passage and they recognize him. And recognizing Jesus changes them. Despair turns to certainty. Jesus is risen. We too need Jesus to graciously reveal himself to us. Like these travelers, we cannot see Christ rightly until God opens our eyes. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty good at being scared. My nightly prayer as a five-year-old living in Para Hills was, "Dear God, please don't let the robbers break in." That's what I prayed every night. I've often battled doubts. I tend to fear. And when this happens, it's partly because I'm not seeing God rightly. We need Jesus to reveal himself to us. So let me set the scene. It's 3 days after Jesus' death. Two travelers are leaving Jerusalem for Emmaus in verse 13. And we read they are downcast, verse 17. And Jesus walks alongside them on the way to Emmaus, but they're kept from recognizing him. Everything these two hope for about Jesus, they believe has come to nothing in his death. Jesus says they're slow to believe the scriptures in verse 25. And Jesus opened the scriptures with them to show them that the Messiah had to suffer these things. So what made them unable to see the fulfillment taking place in front of them? Let's see what they were hoping for. If you open your Bibles, have a look in verse 21. It says, they'd hoped that Jesus was going to redeem Israel. They had an expectation of the Messiah, and it's this, political victory. There's no way the Messiah would die on a Roman cross. But despite being slow to believe, Jesus is the risen Lord, and he graciously reveals himself to them. Our passage breaks into three parts. The risen Lord welcomed and becomes the host. The risen Lord revealed. The risen Lord testified to. I'd encourage you to have your Bibles open to Luke 24, and we'll get stuck in. Firstly, the risen Lord is welcomed and becomes the host. Let's pick up the story in verse 28. The travelers and Jesus reach the village. Now, it's good to remember they have just heard what might be one of the best Bible studies of all time in verse 27. Jesus has been unpacking the scriptures, and now something's changed. They seem compelled to stay with Jesus, and you can see it in their actions. Have a look. Jesus continued on as if going further, but they urge him strongly to stay, verse 29. Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. This is not a gentle invitation to stay, a kind of, yeah, we don't mind either way, you can stay if you want. They urge him strongly. Jesus could keep walking. Remember, they're slow to believe, confused, downcast. They don't have it all figured out at all. But he doesn't leave them. He went in to stay with them. End of verse 29. If you're here today and you're sitting there feeling confused or uncertain, Jesus has the same heart to you. A heart that is willing to draw near. He hasn't changed. This isn't Jesus acting out of character here. Look what he does. He does not deny these two fellowship. He comes and sits down to the slow to believe. And friends, we know the same Jesus. Jesus doesn't wait for us to have it all figured out. He seeks relationship with you. He's not standing at a distance. He says in Matthew 7, verse 7, seek and you will find, knock, and the door will be opened to you. And Jesus agrees to stay. Something interesting happens next. Did you notice the reversal in verse 30? He's just been invited to stay, but now he's the host of the meal. Jesus is welcomed, and now he does the giving out of the bread, verse 30. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. It may well be that because of his understanding as he unpacked the scriptures, that they asked him to bless the meal. They might assume he has some authority, but Luke doesn't tell us. What is Luke showing us here then? Because it seems a bit odd. Jesus isn't just agreeing to stay, he's drawing them in. Because it's here, around the table, he chooses to reveal himself. The risen Lord is revealed. So Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them, and their eyes were opened. and they recognized him. When I recognized my blue-tongued lizard friend, it was mainly because I just had a really good view of his head. When the travelers recognized Jesus, their eyes were opened by God himself. But there is something different about Jesus. His body is both recognizable, but did you notice in the second half of verse 31, he disappeared from their sight. So he's a bit different in his resurrected body. And Luke shows us that before their eyes were opened to Jesus, he was already at work through the scriptures, drawing them to himself. Let me show you what I mean. Isn't it interesting, in verse 32, our travelers' hearts weren't burning when they recognized Jesus. But what do they say? They reflect that their hearts were burning when Jesus talked with them on the road and opened the scriptures. It's what he did back in verse 27 that led to their hearts burning, and then they urged him to stay. So it's worth asking, what is it that he opened in the scriptures that caused hearts to burn? What was the object within it that drew them in? Let's have a look back at this scene. It's really important. Verse 26 gives us a clue. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Their hearts burned because the scriptures were leading them to Jesus, because the scriptures testify to the Messiah and his sufferings. Jesus himself interprets the Old Testament through his own death. It's helpful to see this in John chapter 3, verse 14. This is just one example. Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Can you see Jesus is doing the work? He is drawing them to himself. He initiated the conversation on the road. He opened the scriptures. Their hearts burn. They urge him to stay, and he revealed himself. Jesus says that through his saving work, he draws people to himself. Again, what Jesus said in John is helpful here. Jesus says in John 12:32, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Why are the travelers so urgent? Luke is showing us the scriptures point to the suffering of the Messiah, who draws people to himself. So as Jesus opens them here in Luke 24, he is making himself known. He's showing it's always been about him. And their hearts burn. They're drawn to him. They urge him to stay. And he reveals himself. Can you see Jesus is at work the whole time? Today, we don't see the risen Jesus physically, but the revelation of Jesus in this passage is a foretaste of the work of the Holy Spirit, who works through the scriptures to show us Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis writes an essay called Meditation in a Tool Shed. He talks about standing in a dark tool shed with a beam of light coming in. He says you can look at the beam from the outside, you can see the dust particles floating in the beam. But when you step into the beam and look along it, you can see the sun, the sky, and the trees outside. And I've heard it said, Scripture is like that beam in the tool shed. You can look at Scripture and study it, But when you look along it, you see the eternal Son of God. Scripture is the God-given means by which we encounter Christ. The end of that beam is Jesus. This revelation of Jesus to these travelers is a foretaste of what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit who reveals Jesus through the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit who brings us into relationship with God Himself. Jesus says in John 14 that He will be in His disciples as He is also in His Father. He's talking about the close relationship He shares with His disciples through the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now, by the Spirit, Jesus comes so close that He indwells believers. We're drawn through the Scriptures into close relationship with God Himself. That's how precious the Scriptures are. But there is a danger in reading words in your Bible and not coming to trust the one it's pointing you to. Knowing Jesus is not just a matter of having the right answers or the head knowledge of it. It's a real relationship. A real relationship with Him through the Spirit. The fact is, there are many biblical scholars who know their Bible very well, but they don't know Jesus personally. It's possible to be going to church every week, to know head knowledge about the Bible, and not turn from your sin to Jesus to have a relationship with Him. What Luke is showing us is that these travelers are spiritually blind. Notice, they knew the reports from the women, they knew the Scriptures, and yet they could not see. Knowledge alone was not enough. Their eyes had to be opened. And if these two needed Jesus to open their eyes, then we can't assume we can know Him by our own wisdom either. We also depend on God's grace to reveal Christ to us. This is humbling. We can't find our way to God. Is talking to God in prayer optional for you? Do you read your Bible in dependence on God? We receive what He graciously reveals to us, just as our travelers have the truth of Jesus graciously revealed by Him. We're no different without His intervention. So we've seen the risen Lord welcomed and becoming the host. We've seen the risen Lord revealed, and now we'll see the risen Lord testified to. The travelers have assurance of resurrection and great news to share. Look in verse 33. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Now, it's good to remember they've just sat down for a meal, and even when they were asking Jesus to stay, the day is almost over, verse 29. So it's likely very much nighttime now, but yet there's no hesitation in returning. So remember back in verse 13, they were leaving Jerusalem. Now they're heading straight back. Can you see the change? But look at this. Before they can even open their mouths to the others, they hardly get through the door and they realize their news is not unique. We see the 11 disciples, they're already talking about the risen Lord. Before these two can even get their words out, the group is bursting with the news of the Lord's appearance. It says, there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Look at this. Jesus is appearing everywhere. Something unbelievable is being made certain. Remember earlier, the group did not believe the testimony of the women in verse 11. But the women were right. It is true. Now the evidence is mounting. They're saying, it is true. The Lord has risen. And Luke doesn't explain this appearance to Simon. Did you notice they said, it has appeared to Simon? We don't hear that story from Luke. But Paul does confirm it in 1 Corinthians 15. And now the Emmaus travelers get a chance to share too. The next report comes in. The two explained what happened to them, what Jesus had done on the way, verse 35, when Jesus opened the scriptures, that they recognized him when he broke the bread. Can you see, wave after wave of confirmation is coming in. The Lord is with them again. We've not yet seen his kingdom in all its fullness, but Luke is showing us we can know with certainty he has defeated death. And Christian, you will follow him into life. As the great Colin Buchanan says, which I'm pretty familiar with at the moment, he's the death crusher. And the two travelers are now seeing rightly. But initially, their hopes were too low. They expected too little from God. The redemption of Israel was far bigger than they could see initially. Maybe they thought he'd overthrow Rome, maybe make Jerusalem like it was under King Solomon again. Jesus was conquering death. His redemption extends to the ends of the earth. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Do you have low expectations of Jesus? Can you see how he shattered expectations here? These travelers had low expectations. These travelers couldn't conceive of the shame of the cross, but the path to victory involved the suffering of the Messiah. For he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it's really unnatural for us, isn't it, to see how God can use suffering for good. These travelers saw the cross and thought, it's over. They couldn't see what God was doing. But the deeply ironic bit is that's where God was accomplishing his greatest victory. Maybe today you're going through something hard. Maybe it feels like God's absent. Luke 24 reminds us that we don't always see the whole story. These travelers didn't. But Jesus was accomplishing victory. I said earlier that I have had my own battle with doubts, and that this often links with me not seeing God rightly. Do you have doubts in your faith? Our faith hinges on the resurrection. And remember, Jesus is showing his disciples the scriptures promise his death and resurrection. Notice what Jesus does with these two travelers back in verse 27. He opens the scriptures. If you're not sure, have a look at the scriptures. I want to give you just one example. I just want to show you two verses from Psalm 118. From verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Those words, they're from hundreds of years before Jesus. He's become the cornerstone. He's risen. It's the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. You might be sitting there thinking, I know it's true in my head, but I don't feel confident sometimes. Everyone else around me thinks it's not real. Here's something that might sound a bit surprising. This is precisely where God meets us. God meets us when we don't see rightly, when we have doubts, when we haven't got it all figured out, we're slow to believe, and does good with our struggles when it drives us to trust Jesus. Isn't that the heart of this passage? Jesus is gracious. That's his very heart. Can I remind you what he does for these two downcast travelers in Emmaus? Even their desire to ask Jesus to stay when they urge him to stay, that's a fruit of his work when he opened the scriptures with them. They're slow to believe. They're not seeing the fulfillment. It's always been Jesus at work. So you can bring your doubts to Jesus. He can take them all. You could pray this: Dear God, open my eyes to Christ in the scriptures and help me know you more. Charles Spurgeon says, I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages. He's saying, I've learned to be thankful for the things that make me rely on Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 12, the Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Fellow Christian doubter, if your doubts just don't go away, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And you're not saved by the strength of your certainty in him, but you're saved by the strength of your Savior. If we doubt him, he's the risen Lord. If we see him rightly or not, it's still Jesus. And we can know him today in the scriptures because they testify to him. In Luke 24, it was 3 days after Jesus' death on the cross. Two travelers had lost hope about him, but yet here he is. Behold, the risen King, back from the dead. And even today, as he did in Emmaus, he graciously reveals himself to those who don't see him rightly. Let's pray. Father, in the words of the psalmist, open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your law. Lord, as we look at the scriptures, help us to see Christ and help us to know you more and more by your grace.